is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. In a world where noise seems to reign supreme, what's the value of silence? How do we make room for silence in our lives? And how can silence help us in our spiritual journey? Joining us to talk about it is Dominican Father Dominic Kester. Father Dominic is the associate pastor of Saints Philip and James in Baltimore and the assistant chaplain for the Catholic community at the Johns Hopkins University, located just a few steps away from the parish. He also serves as chaplain for the Baltimore Frasati Fellowship Young Adult Ministry, which is also based at Saints Philip and James. Originally from Ohio, Father Dominic completed his undergraduate work at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He was ordained to the priesthood last year at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. Father Dominic, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
George, thank you so much for having me here, especially for this topic, which is rather near and dear to my heart to discuss with you today.
So I looked up the word silence in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and I'd like to read part of the definition for you and see if you agree with this. It says that silence is forbearance from speech or noise, or the absence of sound or noise. Do you agree with that? Do you think silence is the absence of noise?
Well, I think I can agree with that, but I think we'll have to define ourselves carefully what we mean by noise. Ultimately, we can speak about silence in two ways. One is let's call it the beginner way or the more superficial way, but then there's a deeper way. Way number one is what you and me, what we tend to mean by silence. Simply like you said, it's an absence of noise to our daily life. So we have silence when, say, we're in our home, the TV is not there blaring, you can't hear the dishwasher making all kinds of noise, and you have that sort of silence, what I think we could call an external silence, external to us. But I think for silence, there's a second way or a deeper way of having silence, which is actually an interior silence. A silence interior to us, ultimately a silence of mind and heart. Now, these two silences, these two ways of discussing silence, they're very linked, because as the external silence is the lack, the absence of external noise, whether it be our noisy TV or what have you, internal silence is also a certain lack of noise. But here, the noise refers to all of our noisy thoughts, all of our distractions, our anxieties, all these things that we could say make a lot of noise in our minds. To have this second form of silence, this more interior silence, is when our minds and hearts become quieted, they become still. So just as the first form of silence is exterior, this form of silence is interior. And ultimately, what we describe as this first form, exterior silence, is very helpful in cultivating this interior silence. This interior silence is really what we're looking for, because we could have, you know, a perfectly silent environment, but if inside there's all noise, we're really not experiencing that silence at all, are we?
How does that interior silence allow us to connect with God or hear God better?
So ultimately, this interior silence, so we say it's the absence of our noisy and distracting thoughts, an interior stillness. What's interesting here, George, is we don't seek this interior silence for its own sake. The goal, the end goal, is not just tranquility, although tranquility can be really quite nice. That's not the end goal. The end goal is actually God himself. The end goal is communion with God, friendship with God. That's ultimately why silence is so important to us Catholics. What silence does is it gives us the space. It gives us the room, so to speak. When we have all these noisy thoughts running around our head, there really isn't much space left to have a conversation with our Lord and God. So to make things ready in the same way before you and I started talking, your studio may be all set up there, but for me, I went here and took my office and had to make sure everything was quiet so we would have the space to have this conversation. So too for us in our lives, it's very important to seek out that interior quiet, that quieting of our thoughts, all of our anxieties, to let them rest so we can enter into that conversation with God, that we may hear him and converse with him.
As we mentioned, you're a Dominican. Are there Dominican practices regarding silence in your spiritual life?
Absolutely, absolutely. So sometimes people will ask, for Dominicans, how are you Dominicans different from all the other priests here throughout the Archdiocese? And I say, well, in many ways, we're very similar, especially in what you see us doing, what you see us doing on the outside. A lot of our uniqueness actually comes in how we live inside our houses, our monasteries, our rectories. So here in a Dominican community, there's a lot of silence. We really put a premium on this. So that in the house, in our rooms, which we call cells, using an older monastic term, we're able to have the quiet, both the exterior quiet, and then moving to the interior quiet to talk with God, to study, to learn more about God. All of this is part and parcel in our life. So we guard this silence vigorously for ourselves and have different things in our own rules and constitutions that support that silence. I remember one thing in a different monastery where I lived in Washington, D.C., where I did my preparatory studies for the priesthood. When we would walk out of our main chapel, there was a large sign over a bulletin board where we would put prayer requests and a large sign that said on it, "Silence, the father of preachers. Silence is the father of preachers." That's very striking for a Dominican because we can think of silence and preaching as, well, how could these go together? But it's a recognition of if we're going to preach, which is to talk about God, to share this God whom we know with others, we first need to be men of great silence so that we ourselves can have that conversation, get to know God first, and then be so able to share him with others.
How does that silence help in self-reflection?
Now, this is huge, George. I think for all of us Christians, all of us Catholics, some of the things I just said are more unique for Dominicans. But I think for all of us, silence has a key place in growing the spiritual life, especially as you say in self-reflection. It's very difficult to really know ourselves when we ourselves are all mixed up inside, when you don't have that kind of tranquility, our thoughts are going all over the place. And if we don't really know ourselves, it's actually rather hard to get to know God. And not knowing ourselves means that we may not actually be able to love ourselves and receive the love of God as much as what we could. So to have this sort of silence gives us also that space to really come to know ourselves, to come to know how we ourselves are in need of the Redeemer, in need of the divine physician. And then knowing that, we desire all the more to seek him out, to go toward him. And he, the divine physician, is most generous then in coming towards us. We realize he was actually the one seeking us out first.
Sometimes it seems like God can be silent. And in fact, I think in most cases, most people are not going to hear the voice of God with their human ears. And I think this goes all the way back in the Old Testament. You have the story of Elijah who experiences a mighty wind, an earthquake, and a fire, but he doesn't hear the voice of God. He doesn't hear the voice of God until it comes in a whisper. Could you talk about that a bit, about how God is present in his silence, and how does he communicate with us through that silence?
God is, in a sense, almost always silent and at the same time, never silent. Because ultimately, God, as the creator of everything, the cause of everything, is very intimately attached, connected with everything that he's made. So we see our Lord's presence in the natural world, in all the things he's made. And this is where you have different people that are so moved. They go and they see like the beautiful panorama of the night sky or the beautiful sunset, or they're walking down, say, the Appalachian Trail and they see the natural beauty. They see something there of God, where no, God is not speaking with human words there. No, I'm not saying you're going to hear that, but we're seeing something of the Creator, even in the natural world. Then, all the more so, and more importantly, our Lord is speaking through his governance of all things in his grace. Because God creates all the things of the natural world, but he's also come principally in Jesus Christ. God himself come to redeem us and set us free. He comes that we may, in a true sense, hear him who is the Word, Christ himself, this word of grace, who's always speaking to us. But to hear this, George, we talk often about needing the eyes of faith so as to see rightly. It's also true to say we need the ears of faith. And if, in many ways, I think ears are more important for faith, where faith comes through what is heard. So to have ears filled with faith so that we can hear God in what otherwise may seem a world that is devoid of God's presence. But when we understand reality in truth, we understand it rightly. That positions us to begin to hear God, both as he's present in his natural world, but even more so as he's present in grace and all the many things that he's doing. Having this, ultimately, it's the silence, self-awareness, talking with God in faith that sets us up for hearing God all the more. This is why I'm so struck. I see this especially with some older folks in the parish where they have a great sense of how to hear God. They're not hearing human words spoken, but they hear him in a way far more profound than what they would have heard, even if God chose to reveal himself using human speech. No. It can be even more profound than that. And they hear that ultimately through this faith, which they themselves have cultivated in silence.
Have you ever had a chance to read the historical novel called Silence by Shusaku Endo? He's a Japanese novelist.
In fact, I have. Yes, I have read that book. I
It's
think it's often a misrepresented book. I think it's often a bit misunderstood, especially if you've seen the, most people know it through the Scorsese film, which I do not think represents the book accurately. I think the book is far more nuanced in the moral problematic that it presents. But please go ahead, continue.
No, it's just interesting that a lot of the themes of that book center around the silence of God or the perceived silence of God. For those who don't know, it's a novel about 17th century Portuguese missionaries to Japan at a time when Christians were being severely persecuted for their faith. And there's this lack of God's presence, this perceived lack of God's presence of his voice. And I was just wondering, what do you think about that perception that sometimes God is silence, and how silence doesn't necessarily equate to abandonment?
I think that's right on, where I think ultimately Endo's book, we could say, is an investigation or a walking through questions about faith and about trust of Almighty God. And in this, he presents a problematic moral quandaries, especially with the main figure in the book, Father Rodriguez, who's the main figure, who turns away from God. He apostatizes, and we see ultimately the disastrous effect in his own interior life that occurs from that. But to your question, ultimately, of this idea that's being investigated in this book, of God can seem so silent. And many of us have had these experiences in our lives, especially once you get past a couple of decades of life, we begin to experience these things where we're struggling, we're suffering, we're calling out for God's help. And no matter what we do, no matter what we try, it seems like God is absent. We can feel so deeply abandoned. I think at the very beginning, the first step here is we need to be very real about that experience. As we feel that, sometimes people will come to me and they say, "Father, I feel abandoned by God." And I'll say, "Well, have you talked to God about that?" And they say, "Well, I don't want to accuse him of something, Father. I don't want to bring this up in prayer. I can't say that to God." It's like, no, I think you should. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our hearts better than we ourselves know them, because he's closer to us than we are to ourselves. So whatever we're going through, whatever suffering we're experiencing, whatever trial we're experiencing, Our Lord wants us to be real with him and take those to him that he may walk with us. He's already walking with us, but he wants to walk with us all the more. So I think that's step one. Step one is be very real. And I tell people, like, if you're angry with God, if you feel abandoned with God, tell him in no uncertain terms in your prayer that this is your experience with God. And then what that does is it's a very interesting thing, which I think gets, if not the answer, it gestures at the answer of what to do with this experience when God seems so very silent, when God seems so very absent. What this does is it opens us up when we go to God and we express to him our feelings of abandonment. It opens us up to relating to God in a deeper way. I guess you could say a more mature way. It is very possible, and I think it's very important in the Christian life, that we experience this feeling of abandonment and we tell God about this. And we experience it very emotionally. It's visceral. And we're sharing this with the Lord. But in that very act of sharing it with the Lord, we do not believe that he's actually abandoned us. We do not believe that. In faith, we believe he's still there. Even if we don't feel it, we're not experiencing it. We still believe that he's there. I think we have the highest example of this in our Lord himself, in Jesus Christ, as he hung upon the cross. And he called out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or why have you abandoned me? Of course, Jesus Christ is God. He is one with the Father, always with the Father. He knows that he's not abandoned. He knows this. But in this, he relates to us this deep feeling, this deep human feeling that we have of being abandoned. And he shows us, he says with us, like, I'm with you. I'm with you in this. I, your Savior, who have experienced all suffering, have experienced all things, I am with you in this. So that we can lift up these feelings to our Lord and God, knowing in faith that he is in fact with us. He is truly with us. And in expressing our feeling of abandonment, almost our feelings of despair, we express our hope in God. And the more we express that hope in faith, the more we're able to go through those dark times in peace, in trust in our Father. Yes, we carry the cross, but we do so in hope and peace in our Lord, which is grounded upon our faith, which then leads us to Jesus, empowers us in that walk with Jesus, ultimately that walk that leads to our heavenly homeland, our final destination.
Our guest today is Father Dominic Kester. He's a Dominican preacher, and he's based at Saints Philip and James in Baltimore. And he is also the assistant chaplain for the Catholic community at the Johns Hopkins University. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation and we'll focus a little bit more on some practical ways that you can bring silence into your own life. I'm George Matisek. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
News from the Archdiocese of Baltimore. While on a weekend break from the World Synod of Bishops in Rome, Baltimore Archbishop William Laurie visited Ukraine with the Knights of Columbus, of which he is Supreme Chaplain. At the Cathedral of St. Alexander in Kyiv, he praised the resilience of the Ukrainian people, saying, "Your courage, faith, and perseverance in the face of war remind us that God's grace is with us." The Archbishop traveled to the suburb of Bucha, the site of what he called a great brutality at the beginning of the war. There, Russian armed forces murdered hundreds of innocent civilians, including children. The Archbishop prayed at a memorial near the mass grave. Later that evening, Archbishop Laurie attended a gathering hosted by the Knights of Columbus for widows and orphans, where he listened to their stories. He said it brought home the reality of the war. Subscribe to the Catholic Review's e-newsletter by texting WMET to 84576. If you're listening to this on a podcast service, don't forget to click like and subscribe. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Chris Gunty.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. We're talking with Dominican Father Dominic Kester. He's the associate pastor at Saints Philip and James in Baltimore and the assistant chaplain for the Catholic community at the Johns Hopkins University. And we're talking today about the value of silence in our spiritual lives. Father, what are some practical hands-on ways that people can make room for silence in their everyday life? We live in such a busy world.
Of course, of course. And it's good to bring this down to the very nitty-gritty practical, because in desiring more silence in our lives, it's not something that just happens. It requires, like, what are we going to do to try to get that? We spoke in our first segment about the two ways we can think of silence, both the exterior silence, the noise outside of us, and then the interior silence. Now, oftentimes, finding ways to have more of that exterior silence is really helpful in gaining that interior silence of mind and of heart. So some practical tips of how to do that. We can't control what we can't control, and that's fine, of all the craziness of noise in the world. But I say, well, let's look at our homes and apartments, and what can we do to engender more silence there? And I think when we start to look there, we'll start to find there are a lot of noisy things that we just take for granted. How many of us just always leave our television sets on in the house, blaring in the background? We become kind of numb to this. Or how many of us, like for our computers, maybe like you have your radio, maybe your cell phone has all these notifications. I mean, it's always buzzing, it's always binging. So a simple recommendation that you can do very easily is take stock of, okay, what can I silence? Can I routinely, I'm going to turn off my TV, can I go into my cell phone settings and turn off some of these notifications where I only get the important ones? The rest of them, I can have a bit more silence. That's where I would start. It's like stage one, nitty gritty. How can I have more silence in my home? I think would be the first step.
I'm the father of six kids, so as you can imagine, it gets a little noisy at home. And one of the things that I found valuable is to make a holy hour. I do a Eucharistic holy hour at the Baltimore Basilica. And I know your parish, Saints Philip and James, also has a perpetual adoration chapel there. Could you speak to the value of adoration as a way of experiencing the silence and going deeper in prayer?
George, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you brought this up too, where for yourself and for many people with children, especially young children, you could be hearing what I'm saying right now. It's like, okay, Father, that's all well and good, but this just ain't going to happen. This isn't going to be practical for me in my own home. I'd say two things. First, I am completely convinced that God pours forth special graces on parents of young families to be there with you in times where you just can't have this same sort of silence. No fault of your own. I mean, you're doing exactly what a parent should be. But then what you get to in mentioning your time in adoration, your time for the holy hour, I think that's absolutely key, to find some way to carve out for yourselves, and then also thinking for children, for your children, it can be a great way of forming our children from a young age, insofar as they can. It starts in very little doses, to experience this silence. So it can be something going for a holy hour, or maybe for your family, a holy hour would be way too long right now. Maybe a shorter period of time, maybe at an adoration chapel, maybe at home. How can you go and engender this silence with the family, in the home, here and now, very practically? I think that's very key. And in all this, I say, do not be discouraged. If you're seeking out this silence and you're not necessarily achieving it exteriorly, know that the exterior silence is only a help to gaining the much more important interior silence. As you're seeking there, know our Lord and God, He will bless you in your efforts. And I know several people, especially parents of young families, who mysteriously, although their lives are very noisy, there's not much that can be done, begin themselves to experience more and more this deeper interior silence, even while on the outside, like in one hand they have the frying pan, the other hand they have an upside down child, they're doing all these things. They begin to live more of a contemplative life. And I think there are powerful graces at work there. As we seek it out, we learn that ultimately, it's not even so much about our seeking of these things. Ultimately, it's about our Lord God, who gives the gift, all perfect gifts being from Him, the Father of lights.
I know many saints have written on this topic about the spiritual value of silence. Do you have any recommendations on some books or further reading on this topic that people might be able to delve into this a little bit more?
Several things come immediately to mind. I know one book that's been very popular recently is Cardinal Seurat has his book titled The Power of Silence, on silence itself. But what I'd like to focus actually is one particular book, not exactly on silence, but a book that I think really gets into the deeper thing, the deeper goal. communion with God, friendship with God, conversation with God. It's a little book. It's more like a booklet, actually, titled The Presence of God by Father Anselm Moynihan. Now, he's a Dominican, so this is in the family. Father Anselm Moynihan, The Presence of God. I have found no better book that really gets to the goal here of cultivating this practice of being aware of the presence of God, for which silence is the excellent help of being having the space to be aware. But if you want to go and say, okay, how can I fill this silence with God's presence, recognize that presence, this is a phenomenal book. I'll leave with this, where I know of hermits that have two books in their hermitages, Alone in the Mountains, the Holy Bible and Anselm Moynihan. Those are the two they said they need to have that practice, the presence of God in the silence.
Father Dominic Kester, thank you so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thank you so much for having me, George. Been good to be here.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.